welcome to God-Sized Stories, where we explore the intersection of faith and personal struggles. In today's episode, we have Curtis Chang. Curtis is a renowned theologian and the author of a new book called The Anxiety Opportunity. And today he is joining us to discuss the often misunderstood topic of anxiety. But before we dive in, let me ask you this. Have you ever wondered if there is a God-sized purpose behind your own experiences with anxiety? Well, during our conversation, Curtis and I discussed the topic of anxiety and its role in spiritual growth. As someone who has dealt with serious anxiety in the past, I loved hearing Curtis' insights that he gathered from his own struggles with anxiety, and also his invitation to see anxiety as an opportunity is both challenging and refreshing. If you are someone that you love struggles with anxiety, believe me, you are in for an excellent conversation. Please share this episode on social media and tag me for a chance to win a copy of the book. And don't forget to subscribe to this podcast and leave us a review. It greatly helps our ranking and the reach of our ministry. Now, enjoy my conversation with Curtis Chang. Welcome to God-Sized Stories, Curtis. I'm very excited to talk to you today.
Glad to be here. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Well, I'm very excited about talking about some of your work and especially this new book that is coming. Has it come out already?
It has come out. Yeah, it came May 16th.
May 16th.
Yeah, wow. It's out.
So you are a busy man right now because, you know, a book comes out and you're doing all kinds of interviews and I'm sure TV appearances. So very exciting. Well, I want to introduce you a little bit to my audience first, and then we're going to talk about your brand new book. So Curtis, he's a theologian and a consulting faculty member of Duke Divinity School. He's also a senior fellow at Fuller Theological Seminary. He has recently written for the New York Times, Christianity Today. He has appeared on CNN, CBS. You have seen his face. I know I have before on TV. And you also appeared recently on NPR's All Things Considered, which is awesome. He is a co-host of a very popular podcast called Good Faith. And he hosts that together with New York Times columnist David French, which I love him. He's great. Well, his ministry has been fueled by a passion to help Christians recognize the surprising authority and relevance of Jesus for parts of life that are often left to the secular world. I love that approach. I believe it is very imperative this day and time because the secular world wants and has a very strong opinion about issues that are dear to our heart and also that are very relevant today in this modern society. So we definitely need a voice out there that's going to speak truth into some very relevant things. And today we're talking about his brand new book. It's called The Anxiety Opportunity, which I have a copy. And as you can tell, I've been already reading it. We have something in common along with millions of people around the world. We have an anxiety, you know, an anxiety. We have struggled with anxiety where in the past or what have you. So I can relate to a lot of what you said. And I love it because in my book, I also approach a lot of these practical things that we can do with the knowledge that we have in Christ that can help us overcome depression, anxiety, different things. So let me ask you, why did you write this book and why now, Curtis?
Yeah. Excuse me. Well, the why now is because we are in the middle of an anxiety pandemic on all ages. It's especially hitting youth very hard. The latest CDC reported that over 60% of teenage girls suffered from severe struggle with anxiety, depression, and 30% of them in the past year have contemplated suicide because of their mental health struggles. That's a stunning increase in teen anxiety, and that's across the board high for all populations, but especially high for teen girls. So broadly speaking, as a society, we are in the middle of an anxiety pandemic. Why I wrote the book is because I believe that we as Christians need to reframe our approach to anxiety that we have been given and have absorbed, partly through our own Christian teaching, but also through the broader culture, a wrong and not Christ-centered approach to anxiety. And the way I would summarize this is that as Christians, we tend to adopt one of two approaches. We either think we should pray anxiety away, or we should prescribe anxiety away. And let me talk a little bit about both. But either way, we are treating anxiety solely as a problem, either to pray away or prescribe away. And that, I think, is the fundamental error, is that actually we are invited to experience anxiety as an opportunity. Not that it's not doesn't have problematic aspects to it, or not that it's not painful. I know firsthand how painful anxiety is. But the invitation, why I wrote the book, is I believe we need to move from treating it solely as a problem to make go away, and rather as an opportunity we walk through.
I love that. Now, you are not saying with what you just shared that there are no cases where medications, for instance, are necessary. Absolutely. That's not what you're saying. So you
No, absolutely. Nor am I saying that we should never pray, right? Mm-hmm. So both of those things are, you know, I certainly believe we should pray. I certainly, and I myself have taken medication and have been prescribed therapy and have taken it and have benefited from it. But let's break down both of those approaches for to get at what I mean. When we are praying anxiety away, we are adopting a narrative that depicts anxiety, the experience of anxiety, as a problem, as a perhaps a lack of faith, a character flaw, maybe even a sin. Mm-hmm. So that the idea is we have to push it away, we have to pray it away, get it away, and then only after that can we really relate to Jesus as we were intended to do, right? So it's a problem we push away. Now, even that's true in some Christian cultures, really practice that. Others may say, okay, no, we're not going to treat it as a sin. We don't want to stigmatize it that way. We'll just outsource it to mental health. But secular mental health then prescribes treating it as a symptom to make go away, which, again, if you're feeling intense anxiety and you're crippled by it, that's helpful to have medication or therapy to bring it within sort of manageable levels. But secular mental health still fundamentally views it just as a problem to make go away. It doesn't actually unlock, it doesn't open up the doorway to the opportunity for spiritual growth that is, I believe, the Christ-centered way of approaching anxiety. And because, and that's, you can't blame secular mental health. That's not their job. That's not their framework. Is they're not thinking about spiritual growth. And so this is why I'm inviting folks to either rather than pray it away or prescribe it away, to actually embrace the experience of anxiety, as painful and as challenging as it is, really as this opportunity for spiritual growth.
Yes. And so you are calling in every person who is a believer and beyond, who are experiencing anxiety, to see this as an opportunity for growth, right? For growth. And you say you start the anxiety opportunity, revealing that one of the insights of the book says that every anxiety points to an outcome that is ultimately inevitable. What does that mean?
Yeah. So I think this gets to what is anxiety. And I am deeply familiar with anxiety. I write a lot of stories about my own struggles with anxiety. I've been, I wasn't always aware of it, but I was anxious as a child in many ways. And then I suffered a catastrophic experience of anxiety that ended my pastoral career about 18 years ago. And so I'm very familiar with how damaging it. And yet, even having had my life really upended in a major way by anxiety, I really can say with great conviction and experience and biblical backing that anxiety is an opportunity. And that one of the primary ways it's opportunities is because it points us to our deepest feared loss. That's what anxiety is. Anxiety equals loss. Anxiety is the fear of some future loss that we think could be coming down our road, right? So anytime we're feeling anxious, it's because our minds have been taken to, have been hijacked to contemplating some future loss. And where anxiety really becomes an anxiety disorder, right? And it's important to distinguish the two. Anxiety is the natural human reaction to some fear loss. We all experience it. And I'm going to make the claim, and I do in my book, and we can talk about this, that even Jesus experienced anxiety. Mm-hmm. That's different than an anxiety disorder. An anxiety disorder is where we are become dysfunctional, truly unhealthy. And to understand how we go from anxiety to anxiety disorder, we have to realize that there's a part of this formula, which I call anxiety equals loss times avoidance, Where we get into anxiety disorder is when we are trying to desperately avoid loss, and we engage in all sorts of mental, behavioral, relational moves that are designed to try to avoid that loss, to get away from it or go around it in some way. And that's what, those moves don't ultimately work, because the truth of the scriptures and of life is that loss is unavoidable. Like loss is unavoidable. Anybody who has gone through life in any real way knows we experience loss in our life. So if we think that we should try to avoid loss, we're trying to avoid the unavoidable. So we're getting on this hamster wheel effect where we're trying to do something that we can't actually do. And that's when we multiply anxiety. That's when it gets higher and higher. We get more stuck in anxiety.
Mm-hmm. And we get into this little wheel, as you say. I think it's chapter 10. I was reading it, how we try to avoid loss is the name of the chapter. And you talk about this identifying avoidance habits that we have. So, you know, everything that you write in this book points out to the fact that of being a deliberate seeker of truth and deliberate seeker of the opportunity behind every anxiety that we have and every issue that we have with anxieties. Tell me, what was like the catalyst for you to start seeing anxiety not as a problem to be avoided but as an opportunity for growth? How did that happen?
It happened over years, and obviously there were some major catastrophes in my life, especially, like I said, the one that I write about in my book where, you know, for a 2-week period after I became a senior pastor, for a 2-week period, I did not sleep at all. Like, I couldn't fall asleep, and that was just an utterly devastating experience. For anybody who's had, you know, prolonged insomnia, you'll know what I'm talking about. It's a psychically painful experience. And so I think things like that began. And then also another incident would have been when I suffered from chronic back pain when that started in college. That was another episode of anxiety for me. And the thread that runs through all of those experiences is they all have to deal with some loss, right? As a pastor, I was fearing the loss of my congregational numbers, my congregational giving, my own self-image as a successful pastor. As a college student, when I suffered that back pain, I was suffering from the feared loss of a life lived of activity, of where I could do things. I could, you know, and this idea that I won't always be healthy was a real loss of that, you know, youthful feeling of invulnerability, right? And so what this points to, though, is why we cannot treat anxiety as a problem, because if anxiety is always triggered by some loss, some potential fear loss, anxiety equals loss, then when we say that anxiety is just a problem to make go away, to either pray away or prescribe away, think for a moment what we're actually saying. What we're actually saying when we say anxiety is a problem to make go away, we're actually saying loss is a problem that we should go away, that we should avoid. Mm-hmm. We're saying we should be able to avoid loss.
Yes.
And that is just impossible. Here's one example of the spiritual opportunity here is anxiety is a sign that's showing, wait a minute, do you really think you can ultimately avoid this loss that's making you anxious? Because many, many Christians, even unconsciously, operate with this mistaken notion that God exists to make to ensure that we avoid loss, that God is a cosmic insurance broker in the sky, making sure that we will never experience loss. And why we need to grow out of that mistaken belief is because, one, it's going to disappoint us. Any Christian who's lived for any long will, as you can pray all you want, and we do believe God hears our prayers, but it's not like we're guaranteed that all of our prayers for loss avoidance are going to get answered. Like anybody who's lived honestly has to admit that, right? And then scripture itself explains, no, the way forward to spiritual growth is not loss avoidance. It is not making anxiety go away. How do we know that that's the path of spiritual growth? Because of Jesus. Because Jesus himself went through loss. And when he was facing his loss of all losses and gets in the cross, he went through it through Gethsemane. And all of the gospel writers who write about Gethsemane, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, John does it in a different passage in John 12, but the same message is clear, that when Jesus was anticipating and facing his loss of all losses, he experienced anxiety. I mean, all of the descriptions of Jesus as troubled, sorrowful in soul, weeping, throwing himself down. I mean, there's just—
Sweating blood.
Yes, exactly. It's classic symptoms of anxiety. Absolutely. And what that tells us is that anxiety is not a sin. Anxiety is a natural human reaction, so human that Jesus, in taking on our humanity, took on, fully experienced, fully went through the experience of anxiety on the way. And what he went to was that loss is not something we avoid. Death is not something we avoid. It's something we go through. It's a doorway. We go through it. We have to be willing to endure it, to tolerate the uncomfortable, the painful aspects of it. Why? Because one, we're just like Jesus was held by the Father as he went through loss, so we too are held by Jesus as we go through loss. And here's the most important promise, that Jesus, as he went through loss, went through that doorway, and on the other side was resurrection, was his resurrected, glorified self. Those of us who follow Jesus must follow those same footsteps, going through loss, including the anxiety that surrounds loss, knowing we're held, and that on the other side is resurrection, which is the restoration of all loss. Resurrection is not the same thing as avoidance of loss. Right. Resurrection is going through loss and then having what we lose ultimately return to us when Jesus returns to raise us all from the dead and to restore the new heavens and the new earth. That's the gospel. The gospel as God, as insurance broker in the sky, that's a false, thin gospel. Absolutely. The real gospel is death, resurrection. That's the pattern. That's the pathway that Jesus made for us and that we follow in him, with him, and through him.
I am so excited to announce a special opportunity that we have to explore the sites of Jesus' greatest miracles. My pastor, Dr. Perry Fowler, and I are partnering to host an amazing journey in May of 2024. We are going to be taking a group of people to tour and teach in the Holy Land, where Jesus walked and performed many of his miracles. Walking through the land where Jesus lived will be an unforgettable experience. From standing on the Mount of Olives to walking by the Sea of Galilee where Jesus fed the 5,000. Can you imagine? This is an amazing chance to immerse yourself in history. So don't miss out. You can find a link on our show notes, or you can visit my website, patriciahober.com, for more information. Don't hesitate. Book your ticket today for this once-in-a-lifetime journey. And now, back to the show. Highlight this part of our conversation, because there's somebody out there who deals with anxiety, and you know, they have heard, because unfortunately the church sometimes highlights this type of issue, that anxiety is a sin, right? Just like we've heard it before. Well, if you're going through this, you must be in sin. You must be working. You know, it's just one more thing that a lot of wrong gospels that are taught out there, you know, they highlight. And I just love it because the same people who claim that, they claim that Jesus is sinless. And you just made a beautiful point, you know, which is the fact that he dealt with anxiety and Jesus was sinless. We know that. So how can Jesus have dealt with anxiety? And it's very clear on scriptures that he did.
Yeah.
Physically, you know, very, very clear. And at the same time, you say that Jesus is sinless. So I just absolutely, and I'd like to highlight that because there's somebody out there who says, you know, I this is a sin. I have to have more faith. And it's not that simple. It's just another process for you to get closer to Jesus. It's just another, and you say this, you say that you called it an opportunity. Even the title of the book is Anxiety Opportunity. So it is an opportunity to grow. Now you say that your personal, more transformative growth as a believer occurred because of anxiety, because of having to deal with that. Does that mean that anxiety is good?
It doesn't mean anxiety itself is good. Anybody who has experienced anxiety knows it can't possibly be described as something good. It is a painful, wrenching, uncomfortable, depending on what level of anxiety you talk about, it can range from just being uncomfortable to downright devastating. Yes. And I've experienced the full range of that. So anxiety is not good. But the Gospels, the central message is that Jesus is the Redeemer. And what redeeming means, and this is why the organization that I founded is called Redeeming Babel, redeeming the world, you know, the broken world, is that Jesus redeems what is broken. He can redeem what is painful. He can redeem what is hard. And so absolutely, anxiety is not good, but anxiety can be redeemed into spiritual growth, which is good, which should be our greatest good. I think that's the promise. That's the invitation behind my book, The Anxiety Opportunity. And it's not just, I want to emphasize, it is not a book that is just talking kind of to your head and just talking like things up here. I really try to describe how we access this opportunity through very practical steps, through actual activities that we can do to actually experience anxiety differently, not make it go away. Please don't buy the book if you're looking for some magic potion solution that, you know, just read these 200 pages and then your anxiety will disappear. That's not the promise of the book. Mm-hmm. The promise is I will help you go through anxiety and actually tolerate it, endure it, with the promise that, again, Jesus holds us in the middle of anxiety and that there's a beautiful promise on the other side of anxiety and loss, and that you will grow. You will grow spiritually through that. And the irony, Patricia, is when we actually learn to hold anxiety, when we're actually able to endure it, to experience, to go through it, when we're actually able to hold anxiety, we actually lessen our anxiety. Like we don't make it go away, disappear, but we actually, that's the pathway to bring it down, because we no longer then are on the hamster wheel. We're no longer engaging in these avoidance moves that multiply anxiety. When we learn to hold anxiety through a variety of practices that I describe in the book, things like prayer, things like community, things like grieving, lamenting, right? These are classic biblical holding practices, ways that we hold loss that Jesus himself demonstrated and practiced. All three of those: prayer, community, grieving. Jesus did that on his way to the cross. When we do that, we actually bring anxiety down and to manageable levels, not to zero, but to manageable levels that we can actually hold and tolerate and endure.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that you talk in your book is that we need to identify avoidance habits. So for the listener out there who hasn't read the book yet, so that they can get a little glimpse, so that, can you unpack a little bit about this avoidance habit? So just some examples of them.
Yeah.
And people will probably identify.
Sure. Well, I'll just talk about sort of mental avoidance habits. There's physical avoidance habits. There's relational habits that I talk about in the book. But let's just talk about mental avoidance habits. Typically, they're in two categories. away or around. We either flee away from the loss or we go around the loss. And both are actually avoidance. So the away moves are examples where people, like, you know, if they're anxious about money and you bring up the topic of money, they're like, I don't want to talk about it, you know, or I don't want to hear about it. Or, you know, kids who are anxious about college, like, don't talk to me about college. Don't talk to me about, right? Like, they just want to get away from the topic. And that's actually fuels anxiety, because it balloons up the threat as something you need to run away from, right? Mm. Now, my big away move mentally is an around move. And by that, I mean, I rather than fleeing around it, I'm like heading towards it. I'm fighting it. And I'm trying to, and the way I fight and wrestle with it is I turn the situation over and over, around and around in my head. It's what psychologists call rumination, when we're right. stuck in a pattern of thinking a thought over and over again. And what I've come to realize, at first I'm tempted to think, oh, I'm just like facing it. I'm dealing with it. I'm trying to, you know, I'm confronting it. But the tell is when you get stuck, when you're addicted and you're going around and around in your head. And what that tells you is you're doing an avoidance move, because I have come to realize what's going on for me in my own rumination. Like, so when I was a pastor, for instance, and I'm thinking about my congregational decline in numbers, I'm thinking about it around and around and around. What I'm doing is I am turning the thought and the situation over and over, around and around in my head, thinking, if I just think hard enough about it, if with one final mental turn, aha, I will then discover the solution that that guarantees loss avoidance. It's the thing that I will say, or I will do, or I will pray, or I will whatever. That's something I'll discover, that when with that final turn, there is loss avoidance. But Patricia, as I've been emphasizing, that does not exist. Mm-hmm. That guaranteed, you know, you will never experience loss if you just think, pray, do this, does not exist, because loss is unavoidable. Mm-hmm. So because loss is unavoidable, that final discovery of that solution doesn't exist. So instead, my brain just keeps going, turning over and over and over, like, you know, like the hamster wheel, not getting anywhere, but thinking, if I just think hard enough, fast enough, turn it over enough, I'll discover it. So that's my avoidance move. And as you can probably hopefully tell from my description, that multiplies my anxiety. That, absolutely. You know, that multiplies the loss in my head, because I'm stuck turning my head around and around it. So that's a classic illustration of how, you know, anxiety equals loss times avoidance. And so a lot of what spiritual, or a big, you know, part of spiritual growth is recognizing, oh, this is what's going on. Here's the loss that I fear. Here's my avoidance move that I'm stuck in. Now, inviting the Spirit of Jesus, the Holy Spirit, to come help me break that addiction to that particular avoidance move, which for me is rumination, which I will just tell you is as addictive as any drug is out there.
I agree. I was addicted to the same thing. So I understand. Thus, the sleepless nights, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Because eventually you're going to figure it out. That's what your mind. You know, it is a form of control, right? Like people who have that kind of mentality have an issue to let go. And that's the one thing that God wants the most of us, is the surrender, right? It's all about the surrender, really, at the end of the things. If you know, we surrender to Christ as our personal savior, but then it's a process. It's part of our sanctification to get to a place where we do surrender our anxiety to Jesus. And you call it meeting Jesus in our anxiety, right? Yeah. So it's the process that you just described.
Absolutely. It is the gospel model for how we meet Jesus. I write about this in the book, but that when you break down, like say in the book of Mark, all the different ways that people approach Jesus, and I did this analysis, the vast majority, you could say 27 out of 29, you can make a case of the ways in which people approach Jesus in good faith, they approach Jesus through anxiety. It's not like they got rid of their anxiety first and then could only meet Jesus. They brought their anxiety. They were anxious people as they approached Jesus, and Jesus welcomed them all in their anxiety. And that should be a wonderful encouragement for us. those of us who struggle with shame around anxiety, thinking that it is a sin or a lack of faith or something like that, that no, it's not like we have to get rid of our anxiety first and then grow closer to Jesus. We grow closer to Jesus precisely through our anxiety.
Yes, I love that. And well, let me ask you this. If somebody that's listening to this hasn't read the book yet, has to buy it and wait for Amazon to deliver, what is the one piece of practical advice that you can give someone living with anxiety that they can do like today to lessen their worry and anxiety?
Sure. Well, I'll draw from Jesus' teaching about anxiety in the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus talks about to his listeners who are anxious. They are anxious about what they will eat, what they will drink, what they will wear. They're worried about their future. Again, remember, and they're worried about a future loss. Will I have enough to eat in the future, to drink, to wear in the future? And then maybe it's a really, and Jesus then, you know, sort of diagnoses, see, anxiety is hijacking you into the future. So the first really most helpful step you can do to bring anxiety kind of back down to more manageable levels is to leave the future. And Jesus says, you know, in that passage, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow has enough worries of its own. You know, come back to today, to the present. So how do we get present? How do we leave this future and kind of leave this anxiety hijack that's going on, that's taking us in the future? Well, I think the Matthew 6 passage gives us a great Jesus model for this, where he says, hey, come back to the present. And if you need help on how to get back to the now, to the present, look at creation. Look at the birds. Like, really look. Look at the birds in the sky. Look at the flowers in the fields. See, pay attention to them, and see how much God actually cares for creation. And then realize God cares even more for you. And there's actually an enormous amount of psychological wisdom in what Jesus is teaching there, because he's inviting people to stop ruminating, to stop turning over the future in your head, to get present to a concrete thing right before you now, especially through nature, through creation, and then be present through that present reality of creation, be present to your Father who is ever present to you. That's a great immediate recipe all of us can do. Can we get away from the future by paying attention to something now, especially something in nature? Go for a walk, go smell the flowers, and just like, but really, really pay attention to them. Like, put your mind, like, look at the flower, look at the birds, listen to the birds, bring your senses to the now, to the present. Mm-hmm. And you will find you cannot be anxious if even just for 5 seconds, you can be free of anxiety. If for those 5 seconds, you can be present, to the now, and use it as an anchor, something of creation, God's creation, to anchor you in the present now, and then walk through that present reality, walk through that doorway to realize, wait, the creator behind this beautiful bird, sky, tree, flower before us is present now, is present right now with you. And let that be a moment where you come present to your Father and just leave the future behind. Let the Father take care of the future.
Yes. And then let the truth of the gospel about, like, if what Jesus just said, like, if he'll take care of, you know, the urban in the field and the birds of the air, like, how much more does he love you? You know, it's just,
that's right.
It's just like just engulfing, just wrapping you around that, all the truth of how loved you are, much more than birds and the flowers of the field. And, you know, it's just, it's funny that you say that very example, because years ago, my husband lost his job, and I was at home with our child, our firstborn, and he lost his job, and we were like, how are we going to even pay for our mortgage? You know, it was like the beginning of our marriage, and I was praying one day, and I was kneeling by the window, the backyard window, and I was just like, Jesus, I was just praying and calling his name, and I heard a bird chirp, you know, in the backyard. And right then, the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart, you know, like, look at the birds of the air, you know. And it was, so again, it what an example, right, of what you just said, because that's exactly what God did to me, with me that day. It was like, he brought me to the present, and he brought me to something tangible to look at just think, because I knew the verse, right? How much more does he love me?
Yeah.
And
Well, and one thing, Patricia, I would say, I don't know if this what was true for you, but I want to say to our listeners, you'll experience some relief for those moments that you can really get present. Quite likely, the anxiety will return. So let's not pretend this is a once and for all solution. But you, in that moment, you'll realize, wait a minute, there's a move I can make. There's a different move I can make than rumination. And the next time you experience anxiety, you can at least be invited to make that move again. And you'll build your muscles at how to get present rather than stay in this future. And so, and this is why this is really why I wrote the book, is because I think we needed multiple such practices that we can do, getting present. I talk about mindful breathing. I talk about physical touch. These are all different ways that we can get more present to God in the moment, right here and now. And it's things we need to practice. It's not going to be a one and done kind of solution. But as we do it, we grow. And that's the whole point.
And this is a great point because, you know, most likely people who deal with anxiety, it's kind of in their DNA to have that tendency. You know, it's something in their makeup, in their psychological makeup, whether it's their story and, you know, all things together. And so they have to find a certain habits, certain That's things right. that need to change. Otherwise, they're going to deal with that for the rest of their lives. And it's no fun for sure. Well, I hate to finish our conversation. I've loved talking to you today. We have quite a bit in common in our walk, and I appreciate that. I appreciate so much this wonderful book, The Anxiety Opportunity. And I want you to just give us some last words of encouragement to somebody out there. And there are many, as you know.
Well, my last word is, again, coming deep from the heart and deep from my experience, which is, if you are somebody who's struggling with anxiety right now, or if you're a parent of an anxious child, an anxious teenager right now, and that in itself is making you anxious, I know what that's like, but more importantly, Jesus knows what that's like. Jesus understands and embraces and welcomes you precisely in your anxiety. That this anxiety, it doesn't feel good right now, but it really is the opportunity to meet Jesus and grow more like him. And I hope if you're looking for some help on how that can happen, you'll consider reading the book, but just walk away with that truth, if nothing else.
Amen. I love that. Well, Curtis is giving a copy of The Anxiety Opportunity to someone in my audience. I appreciate that. And so if you love this interview or my column for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, please share it with your audience, tag me on social media, and you will enter for an opportunity to get a copy of this wonderful book. Curtis, what a pleasure it was to meet you. It was really great to see you, and I hope to interview you on your next book again. So,
well, Patricia, that would be lovely. It was really fun to talking with you. Thank you for having
wonderful.
Me.
Wonderful. Godspeed to you.
Same.
Bye. So I hope you enjoyed this great interview. Now, if you go to my show notes, you will find all the links to connect with our guests and my articles. Don't forget to share this episode on social media for a chance to win a copy of our guest's book. And until we meet again, may God bless and strengthen you as you write your own God-sized story. Thanks for listening.